talk about education this morning. And of course, joining you on the line is Nola Payne, education expert at the Independent Institute of Education. Nola is no stranger to the Early Breakfast Show. Nola, once again, welcome back and thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks, Abungeli, for having me.
Now, to you listening at home, and I mean, we talk about this in our homes, but when do we really ever understand the importance of choosing your subjects? Now, understanding that in the coming months, grade nines will be choosing which subjects to pursue during their final school years, on which they will thus be third tested, I meant to say, when they sit on their final matric exams. Now, the Department of Basic Education has recently announced that there is a withdrawal of what we call the designated subject list. Nola will explain a little bit more what the designated subject list is and why I perceive it to be important. Nola, I mean, let's talk about choosing your subjects at a high school level. It seems like something that happens over a week and then it's over, but it's a crucial stage in your schooling years.
I think it's quite a stressful stage as well. You're dealing with sort of 14, 15-year-olds. You don't really know what they actually want to do when they leave school. For the parents, it's the first time they've actually really seriously got to consider the future after school for their kids. So it's something, you know, it becomes a serious topic almost overnight. And people aren't aware of what they need to look at. All of a sudden, they need to consider entrance requirements at universities or and if they're not going to university somewhere else, you know, and it just becomes this whole confusing kind of decision that has to be made. And in the past, there was only a list of, I think it's 19 subjects, that the learners had to make sure they had those because there was a requirement to have a certain number of points to get into different courses and so forth. So it gets actually quite complicated if you're not used to that environment or, you know, the whole tertiary kind of sector and what is required.
And on that note, Nola, let's maybe, I don't know if you can maybe explain to us what the withdrawal of the designated subject list means, because the implications are that it could either help or it could hinder the growth of an individual.
I think there's various factors. The first thing, it now allows the learners to have a wider range of subjects they can do. So they can now do subjects that perhaps they're more interested in, so they would rather do maybe design, something like that, rather than doing history, for example. If then, you know, they're not being forced into do one of or a couple of those 19 subjects, they can now bring in something they're more interested in. So that's a good thing because now you've got them motivated because they're going to be studying something they like. However, on the flip side, universities and colleges and all those higher education institutions are not going to change their entrance requirements into their courses. So, for example, if you want to study a BCom, the entrance requirement may be maths and accountancy. And because you've chosen our design, it's not that design subject's points are not going to count for entrance into a BCom. So it's still, you know, it's sort of, there's a little bit of an advantage, but there's that hidden disadvantage that you need to be aware of as well. That because the list is now open, it doesn't mean the universities are going to change their entrance requirements.
So let me see if I'm on the same page as you. You know, before with the designated subject list, it was that you knew which subjects you needed and the build-up that you needed or the sort of cluster of subjects you needed to enter into a certain qualification. But what's happened now is that with the declassification or the withdrawal of the designated subject list, it means that now you'd have to go that extra mile to find out which subject would actually give you entrance into a qualification. Is this communicated to schools? Do they understand that universities, as you've said, will not in fact lower their standards?
You know, I don't know how widely it's been communicated. I'm in higher education, so I'm not sure about the dissemination of communication at the schooling level. I'm sure the schools have been notified and they have notified the learners, but sometimes it's a message that doesn't always get through to the parents. You know, your kid might be given a letter at school and that. Who says it ever gets to the parents to read? So it's the kinds of things that it sounds like it's exciting and that, but there's still this you've got to consider what is required afterwards for a particular career. So almost in a way, you don't have the freedom to choose, you know, one of these maybe dance or something as a designated subject now, because it's still not going to get you into to your required qualification.
Mm. And so, Nola, on that perhaps, and a parting question. So your advice to parents, what criteria should one be using when deciding on subjects?
Look, I think the way they constructed the designated list was to build certain skills to prepare learners for higher education. For example, you know, reasoning, argumentation would be found in the history kind of subjects, logic and so forth, in math, scientific reasoning and so forth in the sciences. So I think what parents and learners have to consider is not just the subjects they like, but the different subjects that will provide those skills, those thinking skills, the cognitive skills required for higher education. So maybe not just choose all subjects that are manual kind of subjects, for example, like art or drama and so forth. You need to think, well, the maths would give me the logic, the science would give me, you know, how to work out and prove evidence. The history, as I said, would give you the debating skills or the verbal reasoning and argumentation. So it's life skills that have been built into these subjects that are important for higher education. You know, you need to use those kinds of skills in higher education. So, you know, just be aware of, you might think you never use maths as an adult, but it might come in, you know, there's various other ways that you would need it.
So it's fair to say that the message from this that any parent should be taking is that if your child is in grade 9 or any grade below that, you need to take the necessary steps to ensure that you go to the school, you try to understand what is happening when it comes to choosing their subject list.
Correct. And just in moderation, don't get excited. You know, just have this calm sort of decision-making process happening in the home. And don't do anything that's too rash at this point.
Thank you so much, Nola Payne, for joining us this morning, and looking forward to chatting with you soon.
Thanks, Emily.
Thank you so much. And to you listening at home, there you have it from Nola Payne, educational expert at the Independent Institute of Education. It's about subject choices. Please don't take this process as a light process. It is a process that you as a guardian, you as a parent, need to be involved in. No grade 9 is, in my opinion, it is in a full state of mind to make that decision on their own. You need to be proactive. You need to get involved. It's for their future. And I promise you, it will matter when it comes to getting into university.